Hey guys, I'm Morgan. I'm an alcoholic. It's been a while since I told my story, and I've been thinking about it a lot leading up to this because it's a very weird kind of transitional time. My sobriety date is October 1st, 2021. So in a month, I'll be celebrating 4 years. I know a lot of people, when they say things like that, they're like, God willing, and like all of these things. I'm like, no, this works better. I'm going to keep doing this. So in a month, I'll have 4 years sober. And I'm not saying that as like ego, like cockiness or anything like that. It's just what we're going to do because that's not an option anymore. I wanted to focus a lot more on qualifying myself as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous as opposed to qualifying myself as a drunk, because I'm here for a reason. It didn't go well, the experiment that I tried multiple times every single day on a continuous cycle. I did come into AA way before I was ready, so we're going to start there, because that's really, when I think about my life, I will say that's kind of where my life started. I walked into my first meeting a week before I turned 21. I was really depressed because my cab had gotten run over. I was working, and I was taking things to stay awake. I was taking things to go to sleep. I was falling asleep at work. It was really bad. It was not a good situation, and my roommate at the time had been in recovery previously in Athens. She said, hey, do you want to go to a meeting? I had never known anything besides the movie and TV version of AA, so I was like, you know what? Sure, like, let's go. Yeah, it was terrifying, but it's okay. I didn't know anything about AA. So I walked into my first meeting at Serenity House, and it looked very different than it does now. I walked in, and not knowing anything was so funny, because the person started the meeting, and he said, hi, I'm John, and I'm an alcoholic, and I said, that seems like a really, really bad idea. I was like, that's terrifying. Why were they letting them run this? It was really great. I don't remember anything else from my first meeting that anybody said except for that guy, because I was so focused on that. But then I got a sponsor because they told me that I should get one, and I'm also a recovering people pleaser, so I did that thing, and I was like, all right, sure. And I asked this girl to sponsor me for the whole thing. The thing from that experience was I knew where I could go when I was ready, but the problem with that was that I was not done, and I was not convinced enough that it was me. I found myself in the book. I related to a lot of people in AA. I knew deep down that I was one of you, but I was not done. And that's just as simple as it is. Like, I was not ready to do the things that were required here to actually stay. I wanted to stop, but I didn't want to stay stopped. That was my first experience in recovery. I tried because I did find myself in there. I really did try to stay around for other people for a long time, and I picked up several white shifts in that time, lived with people in the program. It was a very weird, transient time, very nomadic. It was super fun. I picked up a ton of white chips, and I got to the point where I was like, I don't want to pick up another one until I'm actually doing this. I don't feel the need to keep collecting these if I'm not all the way in, and I knew I wasn't. And I had convinced myself that I was doing what I wanted to do. And I went back out, and I had an experience for roughly 5 years. I had a lot of yes when I first came into the program. I had never been in a car accident. I had never been arrested. I had never done, we were watching something the other night. He was like, I don't do white drugs. And I thought it was really funny. I had never done those. There were a lot of things that I had never done. I was very much a, like, alcohol and Mary Jane person. So I had never dabbled in other things. I was very sheltered growing up, so that was not something that I knew about. That'll come up again as to things that I was unaware of and the situations I ended up in. For a little while, it was manageable, and I really, the one thing I've been thinking about a lot is that step one for me, I could admit that I was powerless over it, but I'm managing just fine, which was not true. The mental backflips that I could do to convince myself of those things meant that I could convince you of those things also. Things were, I would say, manageable. I still, for some reason, never ended up losing a job. I don't know why. People really needed to fire me, but they never did. I know that they were aware. There's no way I could have been, like, that much of a dumpster fire and nobody knew. Like I said, things were kind of going along okay. Like, I wouldn't necessarily say I was participating in life, but it was just the cycle of going to work, to go home, to get messed up, to go to work, to go home, to get messed up. And I remember telling people, I was like, if I'm not at work, I'm under the influence of insert thing here. Usually multiple things, because I very much preferred being, being an experiment. Cocktails, if you will. It was working. Okay, I guess. Some life events, I ended up moving to Athens with an ex of mine. We were not great. I really liked latching on to people that I could use, because that was really fun. And he had a car, and I didn't, so that relationship lasted way longer than it should have. I very much abused that person, and I'm not proud of that, but we do what we need to do, stay in our lifestyles, right? When that relationship did ultimately end, I didn't have anyone looking at me anymore, and I didn't have anyone, keeping tabs on me anymore. And I was in Athens, baby. It's a college town. I was working at Starbucks and Ulta, and I worked with a lot of college kids, and they would go out and party all the time. And then I quickly realized that I didn't like being the messed up one in the room taking care of college kids when we were out. So I stopped doing that because it was stupid and I paid too much money for things. So I started isolating a lot more. But I met someone who, when I met this person, I was like, oh, this is going to be the love of my life. I would meet the love of my life, but it wasn't this dude. I met him through my manager at Starbucks at the time, and he was a tattoo artist. I did not realize how very mixed up the tattoo community is with a lot of things. I was completely unaware of that. I just knew that this person was paying attention to me, and that was important to me, and I really liked when people paid me attention. So I started hanging out with this person, and it would be like 3-day parties and things like that, and they kept inviting me to come back, and that was great. So I kept coming back, and that's funny now. But yeah, I just kept showing up. I was sheltered, and I didn't know that basically anything can go up your nose. I'm not aware of that. So I saw like a white line on a tray at one party. I do respect the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is my story, so if this bothers you, I apologize, but this is just how it happened. So I saw something. I was already deep in some other things, and I saw something on a tray that I assumed was Coke. It was not. Again, I was in Athens. There's also something that's very heavy in and around that area that I was not aware of. I was up for 3 days, and I said, I can drink for 3 days straight, and I only have to sleep for 2 hours? Let's do it. So that was the love of my life. I remember the first morning after that, and after, staying out and drinking all night and doing some, really stupid stuff, going outside, and the world never looked as bright as it did, and that was my I have arrived moment. That got really, really bad because amphetamines I also use alcoholically, and that didn't go well. I was showing up to work, my eyes yellow, because I was sleeping probably 2 hours every, 5 days, putting a lot of things in my body that did not work. And I really, I think for the first time, got to the point where I wanted to stop so badly, and I could only go, 3 hours without putting something in my body. And it was just every day being like, we missed the mark, I don't know how to do this, and I desperately wanted to stop, and I had never had that before. That was March of 2020 when things got really bad. I was in a dark room, surrounded by people that for some reason still wanted to hang out with me. There were people I considered family, and I lived with them, and because it was the beginning of the pandemic, two brothers, they were tattooing out of the house, because that's what they did, because they couldn't work in a shop, so they were tattooing out of the house, and there was a party literally outside of my door. At any given point of the day, I didn't care. I wanted to be alone in my room, just out of my mind. I also got to the point where I was having a lot of breathing problems. I physically couldn't breathe. I remember the first time I ever ingested any form of alcohol ever, and it felt like the first deep breath I ever took. So it actively taking my breath away to where I felt like I couldn't breathe, and my heart rate, my resting heart rate would be 150, 130, 150, kind of terrifying, and I kept doing it anyway. Because I could not stop. I'd had some people, I had one person that I knew that it was in recovery at that time. This is also a person that I was romantically interested in. And I was laying there, out of my mind, and I had a moment, and I've talked about this before, and somebody told me to say it, so I'm going to say this. But I had a brief moment where that window opened up for me to tell people the truth, because if you were doing things with me, you could know, but I was not going to tell you what was going on, and I was not about to tell you how devastatingly bad it was. That was not going to come out of my mouth. So when that window of willingness for me opened, I was like, I have to throw a log in this window right now. If I don't say anything to anyone right now, this is going to close, and I don't know how much longer this is going to happen, and I don't know if I'm going to make it out of that. So I picked up the phone. I called this person that I knew, and they were conditionally sober, and that was the whole thing. I called them, told them everything, just laid it out. I called multiple members of my family, laid it out for them. I called a couple friends and laid it out, and I ended up moving in with somebody in Buford with that person that I was interested in, who I'd been working with, who was also in a relationship, because that's a pattern. You know, like, why not? I ended up moving in with them. I did an outpatient during the pandemic, and that was a really interesting experience. I was completely broken, and I didn't have any tools for life at all. So I ended up in a situation that I'm incredibly grateful for, because I was furloughed from my job and I was making a lot of money. And if I would have been making a lot of money and not having to work and would have stayed in the place that I was in, I would not have made it out of that house. I would have made it out of that house on a stretcher. I know that for a fact. I was already suicidal, and I would not be standing here right now. So for that reason, for that, I'm grateful. However, it was a very conditional situation. So the person that I ended up being with, that was in a relationship for like 6 months at the time that we were together, it was a whole thing. That was in a long distance relationship. I was living in their house. It was weird. But they had gotten caught, because they were in the medical profession, and they had gotten caught using things at work and had to be in a certain program. So I was like, oh, I'm safe around this person and I can't do this. So it did create that space. I also effectively made that person my higher power, because I'm really good at doing that. And when that relationship went up in flames, because I suffocated that person, because that is the only tool that I knew how to do, was to cling onto somebody for dear life, because in my mind they had saved me. So I just like life rafted that person, suffocated them. They ended up cheating on me. So of course, all of that was totally their fault. Completely. I had no part in that whatsoever. They're a horrible person. Now today, I do see my part in that, and that I had absolutely no tools to be in a relationship, had no business being in a relationship whatsoever. And if I was in that same situation, I probably would have done the same things that that person did. And I wish them no harm today. And that's one of the things for me that AA has given me that's crazy. Yeah, that's one of the things that could have justified holding on to for a really long time. And today I don't have to. When that relationship ended, so did my sobriety. Because, like, go figure. I went back out, I guess, for about a month. And I was sitting on the back porch at my dad's house. So it was probably around like September 2021. I was sitting on the back porch at my dad's house a month later, like the end of September. I had gotten to the point before where I had wanted to kill myself. I was very much that, and I was very desperate. But like I said, I didn't have a lot of tools. This time, I remember the thought that I had, and I was like, I don't ever want to be here again. And I'm going and willing to do whatever it takes to never be here again, because I just so badly wanted to be off the carousel, man. Like, I did not want that to be the case anymore. And I never wanted to feel that way again. My higher power this time around, so I came back in and I picked up a white chip. I didn't get to do that in that last bout of sobriety, which is great, because I don't like wasting people's things, but it was the pandemic and meetings weren't happening, so it was all Zoom, so I didn't get to waste a white chip for that one, which was nice. I came back in, and I picked up a white chip on October 1st, 2021, and since that time, I've been here. I will say that I think because of the way that my story had gone up to that point, my higher power saw fit to really break me in this time with some really devastating things. So this time around, I was picking up a 30-day chip when I found out that one of the people that I had lived with previously, that I said was like my family, had committed suicide. I found that out in the meeting right after I picked up my 30-day chip. I do not think that's a coincidence. And I had a moment of, are you really here? Like, do you want to continue doing this for the memory of that person, or do you want to go do something stupid again and end up exactly the same way because you've been in that same space? I did decide that in Derek's memory, I would stay here and keep trying to figure this out. I was really in this, and that was like, it was hard going through that. It really felt like a bomb had gone off in my life, and things were so weird anyway, because getting 30 days sober, like for, like, I don't know, the 80th time, is like a whole thing. I didn't want it to be like the 81st time, so we stayed. we don't get better, like, super fast, as far as mentally, right? I have a thinking problem. Like, any form of alcohol was just a solution to the problem that I have with my brain. Some rewiring takes way longer than other rewiring. And I was still around a year and a half sober. I was still very actively being a tornado in my own life. I normally don't say this in mixed meetings, but I will say it because I'm not ashamed of it. And I don't care today to say this because it is what happened to me and that's fine. So I had a friend and ended up having a one-night stand with that friend. I got pregnant and I ended up having a miscarriage. That was, like, literally the most traumatic thing I've ever gone through in my entire life. Like, entire life. There's a lot of factors of that that were absolutely, like, devastatingly awful. I was mad at my higher power because I had fully accepted the situation. I was like, this is a consequence of my actions. Like, this is what we're doing. Like, this is going to go. Like, I was living with my parents at the time because I was still getting there. I had them, like, talking about a nursery, it was a whole thing. And then that happened. And I was like, dude, bro, why? Like, really, why? Like, that's not cool. I can stand here and, like, it looks like I have a smile on my face, but it was so uncomfortable. So this is what I do when I'm uncomfortable. But it was okay. I didn't want to feel any of those things. And I did, when that happened, I did revert to the, I can do this by myself. I just need to be alone. I realized within probably an hour and a half of that day after that I did not need to be by myself. Because I was looking out the window, and all I wanted to do was drink. Like, all I wanted to do was numb that. I called somebody in the program, and I said, I need to get out of the house right now. That person, we went and got breakfast. They got me, like, a whole care package. Like, they, like, even to the extent of, like, the way that I talk to people today, I tell them a lot of things. And I had said something about how I couldn't have deli meats or whatever. I was complaining about it. So they brought me, like, a thing of turkey, like, in this, like, care package, like, put a cold pack in there. And there was, like, I just continued, like, putting one foot in front of the other. I normally don't go to women's meetings. I went to a women's meeting and, like, completely lost my whole mind and just shared and, like, said all of the things that I needed to say. And then had people come up to me and tell me their similar experiences. Because at the end of the day, like, that's what AA is. And I needed that so desperately. And now, like, I'm okay. I can talk about that. I'm actually, like, grateful for it because I don't know what my life would look like with, like, a friggin' 2.5-year-old. Jesus Christ. Thank God. It's just one of those things. For me, today, my sponsor is really big about 6 and 7 because for me, like, the first couple of steps is like, hey, am I willing to do these things? Am I willing to believe in a higher power? Am I willing to, like, accept that I'm an alcoholic? Like, it's like all of these questions that I can just be like, yeah, sure. Step 4 and, like, really writing things down. I remember I went into step 4 this, like, last time with my sponsor. I was like, I don't have a lot of resentments. We were there for, like, 8 hours and burned a whole candle down, guys. And that was crazy. I even got to the point with my resentments. I had typed it this time because my hands started hurting from how much I was writing. And I was like, can I type this, please? And I know a lot of people are very big about writing, but I also didn't want to get carpal tunnel because of my resentments, because that would just add to my resentments. I ended up typing this, and I ended up, like, doing a search on there because at the end of the day, like, all of my resentments were, like, basically the same things. And all the things that had affected in me were basically the same things to the point where I was like, we were probably 3/4 of the way through. It's like, do we even have to finish this? Like we can go, but, like, it's all the same stuff over and over again. Like Lego people, like, insert person, put another head on there. Like, it's the same thing. This person left me. It affected my emotional security. Like, all of those things. Doing my fifth step, like, opened the door for, like, somebody else seeing me fully. And also me being able to fully see myself and understand myself more and get to know me, because for so long, like, I didn't know me at all. I have a joke with my sponsor where I would just call her and be like, I don't know who the F I am. Like, and I'm trying to be really clean about this. I would just call her and I'm like, I don't know who I am. Like, I don't know who I am at all. And for a little while, that was, like, really freaking me out. But now it's a beautiful thing, like, to get to discover myself and therefore get to discover, like, my higher power, because I do feel like those things are tied together. My conception of my higher power and me knowing things about me. Like, 6 and 7 are what my sponsor is really big about, as it being a lifelong process. I know they're not, like, they're kind of glossed over in the big book. Like, it's very quick. It's like, all right, now you're done. But you keep, like, it's just one of the things with me where I don't know on a daily basis what I'm going to come up against. You know, and I'm really grateful to have a sponsor that frames things in the steps, because usually I call her and she's like, oh, we're in step six. That's pretty consistent. Because I have shortcomings today, like everybody else. Like, and that's okay. I will say, and I did mention it, like, earlier, but the amends process this time around was a really crazy thing. My sponsor also is very big about letting God lead my amends and, like, me not pushing those things. And the people that I've had, like, presented to me to make amends to have been so, it's been crazy experiences where I'm, like, thinking about a person and then they just come up and then I'm able to talk about that thing. Like, I had an old middle school friend. They're like, I just completely ditched this girl because I had a boyfriend and he smoked a lot of weed and I wanted to hang out with him and I no longer cared about my friend that actually cared about me. And we got to settle those things. Like, we got to, like, sit down and have dinner. And then she said, do you remember when you came over to my apartment a couple of years ago? And I said, no. And when she said it, I remember I had a vague thing of that, but I was like, God, I'm so glad that you, like, decided that was not the time that we needed to talk, because it was probably not good if I don't remember being there at all. But those are the things that I get to settle today. There are some that I've written several letters, because I've lost people that I feel like, oh, I owe an amends to. That's frustrating sometimes, because I do wish they were here, but they're not, and I've written letters, burned them, done that whole thing, and it's something that I get to be okay with today. The life that I have now, like, if you would have told me a couple years ago, if you would have told me that I'd been married, I would have, I would have been like, you, that's gross, why, no, that's disgusting. I didn't, like, talk about my childhood, but I'm a product of divorce. I was never going to marry anybody, because I was never going to trust you that much to potentially hurt me that much. No way. My husband's right there. I love him. He's my best friend. One of the things about that, that I will say, is when I met my husband, he was going through a lot of stuff, and we met in AA. I watched him walk through things that were really, really uncomfortable and, like, feel crazy and, like, suicidal and homicidal and all these things, and continue coming to meetings and share really aggressively about it and just, like, continue going to meetings and keep working the program. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, I want to be in a relationship with somebody that's going to keep doing this when things are hard. And at the end of the day, I'm secure in that, because I know that we both have a program that we work, and we work it in different ways. Like, we don't normally talk about the way that we work our program, because, I mean, it really doesn't, unless it has to do with our family, it's really irrelevant. I don't write down my 10-step inventory. I'm not good like that. But I will say that things actually weigh on me today, and if things are consistently weighing on me, I do something about them. That's not the kind of person that I was when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. I get to be a friend today. I get to show up for people. I get to, like, do things, like, and follow through when I say that I'm going to do stuff. That's completely the person that I am. And, like, I used to think about my funeral, guys. This many people would not have shown up to my funeral. Let me be real clear about that. This many people coming out on, like, a holiday to, like, thank you. Now I think about my funeral, I'm like, y'all are going to be so sad. Anyway. So it's, like, completely changed. It's completely changed. And because I really would, I would think, I would sit there, especially, like, when I was in that dark room scenario, like, I would sit there and I would think about it and I'd be like, honestly, like, they'd probably just be relieved. And now y'all be sad. And that's just great. One of the things, like I said, I am in, like, a transitory period, because getting married also meant that I married three kids. They're probably out, like, doing something weird at the gazebo. Nothing, like, weird, but, like, they're weird. Because we're weird, and it's amazing. And we get to have this weird little family unit, and I love it so much. And I never, ever would have signed up for a life of being a step-parent, and it just kind of happened. And I will say that, like, God, that is such a challenge on a daily basis. And I'm able to face that today, not well all the time, because I'm very much still a control freak. It's super fun. Highly don't recommend that, actually. The things that bother me are so crazy. Why did somebody open another thing of bread when there's one that's still open? But those are the things that I, like, freak out about today. I have very good first world problems. Instead of, like, who put nails in my tires? And that's a big jump for someone like me. It's crazy for me to put into words all of the things that AA has given me. I'm grateful that I knew where to go. I'm glad that I came in here before I was ready, because I knew where to go, because that thought would have been like, because I remember having the thought of like, I'm going to kill myself or I'm going to go back to AA. I also neglected to mention this, but I moved my books, like this big book is the big book that I bought when I first came into the program. It's falling apart now, but I moved my books with me like 7 times. I'm not an alcoholic, but I'm going to move these with me just in case. Or I would be on the other spectrum where I'd be like, I'm definitely an alcoholic, that's why I have no power of choice, and I'm about to get real messed up right now. It's just crazy. Crazy. A person like me, left to my own devices, should not be someone that people show up for. Like, at all. I don't know. I used to kill animals, I used to kill plants. Not intentionally kill animals, let me be very clear. I used to get pets because I thought that they would fix me, and then something would happen to that pet because I was, like, complete. Like, nobody would have trusted me with a pet rock, and now people trust me with children. It's amazing. So there's one story in the back of the book, and I know a lot of people, like, Keys to the Kingdom, it's amazing, like, there's some stories that I really resonate with, but I remember the first time I read this story. It's called Student of Life, or there's a couple parts in here towards the end, and this pretty much sums up how I feel when I walk into a meeting and how I feel today. As I spoke, I looked around the room. More importantly, I looked at the faces of the people in the room, and I saw it. I saw the understanding, the empathy, and the love. Today, I believe I saw my higher power for the first time in those faces. While still up at the podium, it hit me. This is what I've been looking for all my life. This was the answer right here in front of me. Indescribable relief came over me. I knew the fight was over. And then later, it goes on to say, it's almost impossible to adequately describe how much the program has given me. But just as material losses are not necessary to indicate alcoholism, material gains are not the true indicators of sobriety. The real rewards aren't material in nature. I have friends now because I know how to be a friend, and I know how to nurture and encourage valuable friendships. I will throw in that if I don't think your friendship is valuable to me today, I have boundaries. That's also a positive thing. I did not get sober to be weak, and that's one big thing about me. But most importantly, I know who I am, or I'm getting to know who I am. I'm getting to know my goals, my dreams, values, and boundaries. And I know how to protect, nurture, and validate them. Sometimes. I'm working on it. Those are the true rewards of sobriety, and they're what I was looking for all along. I'm so grateful that my higher power stepped in to show me the way to truth. I pray every day that I never turn my back on it. I came to AA in order to stop drinking. What I received in return was my life. Thank you guys for letting me share. First I slip, and then I quit. A hope-filled dream. You rescue me, and finally, waking there I see. I look into love's window for a soul. Thank you.
Take me where the promise is.